The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. A new twist in the bizarre story of an American serviceman who was last seen entering North Korea. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
A Pentagon spokesman says U.S. officials have secured the return of Private Travis King from North Korea. He is said to be in good health and good spirits. He sprinted across the border into North Korea 2 months ago and was declared AWOL by the U.S. government. He now could face time in a military jail and a dishonorable discharge.
Democratic Senator Bob Menendez has just pleaded not guilty to federal bribery charges. He has vowed he'll be exonerated and will not resign. Legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
The three charges we're talking about: bribery, committing honest services fraud, and attempting to commit extortion. All of those point to the same idea, that Senator Menendez is abusing the office to which the public has elected him and serving himself, not serving his constituents.
A Montana judge has temporarily blocked a state law there banning gender-affirming medical care for transgender youth. In Kazakhstan, an American and two Russians returned from a longer-than-expected stretch on the space station.
Rubio's record ride comes to an end.
Astronaut Frank Rubio spent a U.S. record 371 days in space. Our space consultant Bill Harwood says the reason for the long time in orbit was trouble with a ride home.
Their original Soyuz was disabled by a massive coolant leak last December, and the Russians ultimately decided to launch a replacement. That meant Rubio and company had to spend an extra 6 months in space, pushing their eventual flight to 371 days.
In Philadelphia's Center City, groups of teenagers swarmed into at least three stores last night, jamming merchandise into bags and taking off. John Sanford with the police department says some are in custody.
15 to 20 arrests have taken place thus far. At least two firearms have been recovered. What we had tonight was a bunch of criminal opportunists take advantage of a situation and make an attempt to destroy our city.
Well, CBS's Stacey Lynn on the state of American retirement planning.
According to a new survey, 56% of Americans say their nest egg isn't where it needs to be.
Only one in four of these adults say they're contributing more to their retirement savings compared to a year ago.
Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick.
We asked American workers how much they'd personally need to have saved to fund their retirement and to live comfortably, and almost a third said they'd need to have more than $1 million.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 155 points. The S&P is down 12. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
eBay Motors is here for the ride.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin may be getting ready to get tougher on human traffickers. The Speaker's Task Force on Human Trafficking is starting its work today. Some state lawmakers say human trafficking is a growing problem in Wisconsin and new laws are needed to fight it. Republican Representative Jerry O'Connor is the task force chair.
We have no statistics on what's happening with human trafficking in Wisconsin. Third parties look at our laws and our efforts here. We get an F across the board. We're doing a terrible job.
Officials from the Department of Justice and the Department of Public Instruction are testifying at a hearing today. State lawmakers are considering allowing Wisconsin's election clerks to count absentee ballots earlier. Right now, the law says absentee ballots can't be counted until Election Day morning. Supporters of a new bill say it would give local clerks more time to count absentee ballots. Other backers say the added transparency would inspire more public confidence in the process. Travis King, the soldier from Racine who ran into North Korea in July, is now in American custody and presumably on his way back to the United States. Stuart J. Waddles has the latest.
His mother expressed gratitude to the U.S. Army for his return, while the Pentagon spokesperson acknowledged the efforts to bring Private King home, thanking the governments of Sweden and China for their assistance. Despite his release from North Korea, King's situation remains uncertain, as he had been declared AWOL, and there are questions about his initial motives for entering North Korea. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
It seems unlikely that the federal farm bill will be reauthorized before it expires Friday night. Wisconsin farm groups say most of the impact would not be felt right away. Margaret Crome is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute.
They will maybe not be all able to sign contracts, but they will be able to continue to function up until the end of December. But we are watching to make sure that they get implemented properly.
Experts say dairy prices could destabilize if a new bill isn't approved by the end of the year. Until then, the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Michelle Ramirez-White, says they'll keep working for market fairness.
We just see these issues of competition needing to be addressed in a more holistic and composite way.
The farm bill normally enjoys broad bipartisan support, but this time some Republican U.S. House members are pushing hard for spending cuts. Abortion opponents say they want the district attorneys in Dane and Milwaukee counties to prosecute doctors who perform abortions. More from Nate Wegehout.
Planned Parenthood began offering abortion services in those two counties last week. Earlier this year, a Dane County judge ruled that the law that was interpreted as an abortion ban is actually a feticide ban. But Juliana Appling with Wisconsin Family Action says that the judge hasn't said the law shouldn't be enforced.
There has been no injunction issued against the enforcement of the statute, and no definitive ruling from this judge.
Both DAs have vowed not to prosecute doctors who provide abortions. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
A Wisconsin teenager is getting the chance of a lifetime after two double lung transplants in 2 years. Doctors at Northwestern Medicine in Chicago say Josh Burton nearly died several times before they found the perfect donor match a few months ago.
Northwestern gave me a chance to live, to see my 18th birthday, and see a career path.
Josh is a high school senior in Madison. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin native is back in the United States custody 2 months after crossing the border into North Korea. Officials say Private Travis King was transferred to U.S. custody in China after North Korea announced it would expel him. According to a Leader Telegram report, the North's official Korean Central News Agency reported King confessed to illegally entering the country due to, quote, ill feeling against inhuman maltreatment and racial discrimination. King was the first confirmed American detained in North Korea in nearly 5 years. A proposed bill in Wisconsin would require explicit informed consent before medical students practice pelvic exams on patients under anesthesia. The bipartisan bill will get a public hearing in the state Senate Health Committee today. According to a La Crosse Tribune report, similar bills have been introduced in the past, but an amendment removing a clause requiring hospitals to discipline those who violate the proposed law may garner more support this time around. Wisconsin Republicans have proposed a bill for schools to seek grants for installing early gun detection systems. School districts could receive up to $325,000 to install software systems with school cameras and artificial intelligence to detect unholstered guns. $4 million would be set aside for the program over the next 2 years. Proponents hope the bill could help decrease the likelihood of school shootings. The company that creates the technology, Zero Eye, claims it can alert law enforcement in as little as 3 seconds after finding a gun. The Polk County Sheriff's Office announced a man was killed in a motorcycle crash earlier this month. Law enforcement authorities say 68-year-old Gregory Schnell of rural Clayton, Wisconsin, was involved in a crash on County Road D near the intersection of 30th Street in rural Clayton. He reportedly went off a curve at the intersection. Authorities responded to the crash and Schnell was airlifted to Regents Hospital, where he later died. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. The low pressure, still stalling in Illinois, continues to wrap rain and dreary skies our way. Areas near Milwaukee have picked up 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. While the heavy rain is going to ease up and wind down by this afternoon, it'll still spread out to scattered showers and small storms for the rest of today. However, some of the thick cloud cover will begin to break apart, allowing some peaks of sunshine possible later too. High temperatures stay stuck in the low to mid-60s, along a feisty east wind whipping up to 20 miles per hour. That has continued a beach hazard statement through this evening along the Lake Michigan shores for waves climbing up to 6 feet high and dangerous rip currents. But a drier day lies ahead tomorrow, with some sunshine taking the reins, followed by an unseasonable warm-up, too. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers win the division. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was champagne and goggles last night in the clubhouse. The Brewers were losing to the Cardinals 4-1, but then on the scoreboard, the word came in that the second-place Chicago Cubs had just lost 7-6 in Atlanta, and that meant the Brewers had clinched the NL Central, division winners for the sixth time in Brewers history. Team owner Mark Antanasio thanked the crowd of nearly 37,000.
You know, the guys in the clubhouse, this is as good a, as tight-knit a clubhouse as we've had, you know, our 19 seasons, and love those guys, and everybody's been part of this. Our coaching staff, obviously Craig Council, and all the folks both in baseball ops, business ops. Couldn't do it without an entire team. And importantly, all these great fans.
Outfielder Christian Yelich led the team this year in runs, total bases, and stolen bases, and talked about how hard it was this year to win a division title despite injuries to key players the first half of the season.
I mean, it's always hard. I mean, you got to play well as a team for a really long time, and it's a six-month season, and there's a lot of ups, a lot of downs, there's a lot of good times, there's a lot of times where you're grinding as a team, and obviously would have probably rather clinch with a win, but you won't complain, and you'll take it any way you can, and anytime you can win a division, it's really special.
Brewers manager Craig Council on winning his third division title since becoming manager in 2015.
You know, that's a great accomplishment. It's, you know, winning the division is always a goal at the beginning of the year. To do it, you know, almost regularly for the last 5 years is really meaningful. It means we're doing a good job all around, all the way from the top to the bottom. It feels like it's a job well done, and on to the next step.
Meanwhile, the series with the Cardinals continues tonight with lefty Zach Thompson on the mound. Wade Miley scheduled to start for the Brewers. Elsewhere in baseball, he was perhaps the best to ever play third base. Hall of Famer Brooks Robinson has died. Played his entire career for the Baltimore Orioles from 1955 to 1977. Won two World Series in 66 and in 1970. Was named the series MVP. Brooks Robinson was 86 years old. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their game tomorrow night against the Detroit Lions. Both teams with 2-1 records. Packers wide receiver Christian Watson has missed the first three games due to a hamstring injury, but says he'll play on Thursday night. Watson asked if this game was a target date for his return.
I mean, there was no date for me. I mean, it was just as soon as I was feeling like I could go out there and be Christian Watson was when I was going to go out there. And obviously, you know, they have a lot of input too in that, and just, you know, seeing where I'm at. So, I mean, yeah, it was just whenever I was ready.
But Matt LaFleur says, though, Watson has not been given the green light just yet.
Until we get cleared medically, then it's got to go through the process, I would say, before anything's for certain. But yeah, we'd love to have him out there. And if he gets cleared, then, you know, he'll be able to go.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Aaron Zommers on the ones and twos. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Aaron, how you doing on this cold and a little dreary Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday.
I'm going to play that every time. But I am feeling good on a Wednesday today, the most Wednesday of the week, even if it is not the best Wednesday. But last night I went to a concert that was really fun. It was for Thelma and the Sleaze, which if I had to describe their sound and their whole vibe succinctly, I would say lesbian Led Zeppelin.
Interesting. Well, you had a good time, right?
Absolutely. My
all right, that's all that matters.
Because
well, if you need me to speak up, give me a holler.
No, all good. I just forgot my earplugs.
I like the feeling good on a Wednesday clip and then immediately noting this soundbite might not accurately reflect my feelings on this, this exact Wednesday.
It does this time.
All right. Well, he's feeling good on a Wednesday. It's the most Wednesday of the week, as we discussed. We got some fun headlines that we want to get to today, and we're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer at 12:30 for some general recombobulation, as we always do on a Wednesday. But, Aaron, I wanted to start today with a piece over from the AP. Former Speaker Paul Ryan says Republicans will lose if Donald Trump is nominee. Now, this is something that if you follow politics at the national level, this conversation has been going on across both political parties. A lot of, you know, quote unquote insiders have been saying this in regards to Joe Biden as well. Oh, Biden cannot win. You can't nominate Biden or Democrats will get swept. And a lot of Republicans have been saying same thing in regards to Donald Trump. Now, former House Speaker Paul Ryan has joined in that chorus. Obviously, Paul Ryan is a Wisconsin boy himself, so this Wisconsin is once again at the forefront of the political conversation. And reading over from the piece written up by Scott Bauer and published last night, former House Speaker Paul Ryan said Tuesday, Republicans will lose the presidential election if Donald Trump is the nominee. And this is another key and, he expects hard right followers of Trump to force a government shutdown within days. As we noted last week, I believe we had the conversation regarding a government shutdown, what it means, the details of it, when it can be expected. That would be, I believe the government shutdown would occur 11:59 on September 30th going into October 1st as the new fiscal year for the U.S. government begins. Paul Ryan, who left office in 2019 and had a sometimes contentious relationship with Donald Trump, said that he hoped another Republican nominee would gain enough momentum early next year to overtake Trump in the first primaries. Ryan, of course, represented southeastern Wisconsin in Congress for 20 years, the last four of which he was the speaker. He was quoted as saying, "The party that puts the first fresh face forward wins this election," he said at an event at University of Wisconsin campus, at a University of Wisconsin campus event, excuse me, organized by the Robert M. La Follette School of Public Affairs. If the race is between Trump and President Joe Biden, Ryan says, I think Biden wins. So this conversation, Aaron, I'd like to hear what you think, people of Wisconsin. Is this a race to the bottom? Is this a continuation of the, I'd say, American tradition if you look at the last couple cycles, of voting for the quote-unquote lesser evil that a lot of middle Americans, moderate Americans, let's say, tend to find themselves doing? Or is this just the best that American politics has to offer? Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app, calling or texting via the app. Head over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store, type in Civic Media. It's free and easy to download.
Yeah, definitely. Very useful app. And I do want to point out that he had some good alliteration in there. Bring the first fresh face forward. A lot of Fs. But also, I sure hope this is not the best that America has to offer. And we know it's not. It's just that a lot of the good people are being forced out and resigning or retiring because of all this just nonsense. It's impossible to be sensible right now.
Well, it's something we've talked about in the past, right? First past the post voting, it encourages concentrated viewpoints. Because in a lot of these races, obviously the presidential race notwithstanding, but a lot of these congressional races, a lot of the state legislature races across the country, you are going to win in the general by winning the primary if you are in a quote-unquote safe district, right? So your only goal then is to win the primary. Well, what can you do to differentiate yourself in a potentially crowded primary? You need to cater to the more extreme ends of the base. And I think we're seeing this throughout the United States in a number of stereotypically safe conservative districts, that each one of these candidates are trying to out-radicalize the other. They're trying to cater to the very, very ends of the political spectrum, knowing that all they got to do is be able to energize the base enough to come out in the primary, and they're guaranteed to win in the general. And it's not healthy. It's really, really not healthy for the long-term, sustainable success of American democracy.
Absolutely not. It's very frustrating, that's for sure.
And remember, Aaron, as well, that there's only 5 days now, well, less than 5 days, to go before Saturday's government shutdown deadline. 3 days now. The Senate is trying to stave off a federal closure as hard right lawmakers seize control of the House. Senators unveiled a bipartisan stopgap measure to keep offices funded temporarily through November 17th to allow Congress time to finish its work. But so far, it's not looking like this is likely to pass.
The whole government shutdown thing, then the way that it's been playing out the last few times it happened, this potential time included, is very much like one of my sisters, when I was younger, if we'd get into an argument, she would clamp her hands over her ears and just be like, I'm not listening to you. And that made me upset more than anything else, which is why this makes me so upset, because that's all they're doing. They're just like, nope, we're not going to work together. I'm not listening to you, and just shut down the government. And it affects so many people's lives.
Well, and shutting down the government, and another conversation that we have had in the past, it benefits a lot of these, a lot of the more extreme right-wing members of the House in particular, whose entire worldview is predicated on the government being ineffective or inefficient. They're attempting to privatize everything, and they're able to, in their minds, show that their worldview is correct by saying, look, here, the government can't even keep itself open. How do you expect it to help or run your life? Which is ironic, because they are the ones directly causing this government shutdown, right? It would be funny if it wasn't so sad, and if it wasn't right. So, if there weren't so many human lives that are going to be directly impacted by this. It's very troublesome, and it worries me for the future. Is this a situation that we're going to see now yearly? Is this going to become the norm? Is this going to become expected or regular, that we're going to have these budgetary fights year after year after year? Every year it gets a little bit worse. The envelope gets pushed a little bit further. Remember that during the Trump administration, we had the longest government shutdown in United States history. What was it, 135 days or something?
Something stupid like that.
Right. And if this is something that we're going to have to come to expect, we're going to see a lot of services and programs be significantly affected, which, of course, will directly impact the lives of millions of American citizens. And if this happens enough, I think there will be a significant subset of the population that will start to take it to heart. They'll start to believe, well, yeah, of course the government doesn't work, because remember how often they're shutting down now? Every year this happens. They shut down for a month, for 2 months, for, you know, however long it may be. I'm not able to enjoy it, so what's the point of even having it around? And at that point, you know, these individuals, the House Freedom Caucus, these the right-wing elected officials that have been trying to push that narrative, what they're trying to push will have come to fruition, and it's a scary thought.
It's just that Eric Andre meme where it's like he shoots Hannibal, and it's like, someone shot Hannibal. Who would do this?
Who would do this? Exactly.
It's they're shooting themselves and the government and the people of America in the foot, and then being like, wow, look what Biden did. I can't believe that he would shut the government down personally and ruin my day. I had nothing to do with this.
Ruin my day and ruin your day. That's what's more important, American people. You need to remember he ruined your day through my, you know, direct intervention. But we're not going to have that conversation. And it kind of goes back to something we talked about yesterday as well, Aaron. At the end of the day, you, me, the average people, the working class people of Wisconsin, anyone that's not, you know, the small handful of billionaires, we do not have a say in who's on the board of directors for any Fortune 500 company. We're never going to be able to directly impact the way that these companies approach their day-to-day lives. But we can impact who represents us in government. We are still a representative democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We have the ability to pick and choose which individuals represent us in our government. And as long as we have that power, we still have the ability to pick and choose different representatives if the current representatives are not doing their job to our liking. Remember that we are their boss. They serve at the behest of the people. Power comes from the consent of the governed. And if we do not like the way we are being governed, it is our duty, our responsibility as citizens in a democratic society to change that. And there are tons of opportunities to get involved. There are local organizations throughout not only Wisconsin, but the United States. Pick and choose. Find an entity that shares your worldview, that has similar long-term goals, that wants to see our communities and our society better reflect in a more just and equitable manner that which we expect from our communities. Get involved. Do the work on the ground. Grassroots organizing is still fundamental to long-term sustainable democracies. And I think the last, we'll say seven-ish years, really, since the 2016 election, the amount of engagement that I've seen from regular Americans that might have been politically apathetic prior, it's been off the charts, Aaron. People that have not cared about politics for their entire lives have suddenly got involved. We're starting to see decisions, you know, Roe v. Wade might be the best example. For years we were told, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Nothing will happen. They can't overturn Roe v. Wade. They wouldn't do that. And then they did. And now millions of women have less rights today than their mothers and grandmothers had, you know, 30, 40, 50, 70 years ago.
And that those mothers and grandmothers fought hard for, too.
And exactly. They fought incredibly hard to get the right to bodily autonomy, only to have it stripped away from them. And now we need to, you know, take up that mantle. The torch has been passed. It is our time to get organized, to get involved at the ground level. Find a place that suits you. Let's get to work, people of Wisconsin. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Dan Schaefer right after the break for some general recombobulating. This is Town Call. We'll be right back.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. North Korea has expelled U.S. Army Private Travis King, the serviceman who entered the country earlier this summer. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
He is said to be in good health and good spirits. He sprinted across the border into North Korea 2 months ago and was declared AWOL by the U.S. government. He now could face time in a military jail and a dishonorable discharge.
Senator Bob Menendez has pleaded not guilty to the federal government's sweeping bribery case against him. CBS's Nicole Killian.
This was his first appearance in federal court alongside his wife and two of the New Jersey businessmen who were also indicted. A third pled not guilty yesterday.
The New Jersey Democrat again saying he has no intention of resigning. Speaker Kevin McCarthy this morning says he does not see any support in the House for the bipartisan spending plan that has passed the U.S. Senate. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Market on River in downtown Chippewa Falls has officially kicked off renovations after a brick dedication ceremony. The goal of the renovations is to bring food vendors, event space, and apartments to downtown Chippewa Falls. According to a WQOW report, part of the renovations include retail space on the ground floor, a new headquarters for Wisconsin Farmers Union, and apartments on the third and fourth floors. Wisconsin Republicans have proposed a bill for schools to seek grants for installing early gun detection systems. School districts could receive up to $325,000 to install software systems with school cameras and artificial intelligence to detect unholstered guns. $4 million would be set aside for the program over the next 2 years. Proponents hope the bill could help decrease the likelihood of school shootings. The company that creates the technology, Zero Eye, claims it can alert law enforcement in as little as 3 seconds after finding a gun. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are joined by Mr. Dan Schaefer on this Wednesday afternoon for some general recombobulation. Dan, I love the intro. It gets better every time. And I make that joke every time because it's true every time, all right? And I am incapable of telling a lie. How are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Always enjoy that wonderful
introduction that we have here on Town Call.
It's just so great. And Dan, as our resident Mr. Milwaukee here, there's some big news in the sporting world as of yesterday. The Milwaukee Brewers clinching the NL Central. How excited are you to be able to get another playoff run for the Brewers? I believe that's our third in the last 6 years.
Yeah, third division championship in the last 6 years, fifth playoff appearance in the past 6 years. It's an exciting time to be in Milwaukee. We spent so long as Brewer fans being on the outside of the playoff picture, and it sure is nice to be on this side of it and to to have some October baseball coming to Milwaukee in the weeks ahead here.
Mm-hmm. Nothing beats October baseball. It's also the second division crown in the last 3 seasons. So the Brewers have been the team to beat in the NL Central. And Dan, I went back to try to find some numbers to kind of provide context, I guess, to how impactful these type of runs can be. I wasn't able to find any estimates for this year, but I was able to find some Milwaukee Business Journal pieces noting beyond ticket sales, how the Milwaukee Brewers playoff runs will boost business. Obviously, in 2018, we had that magical run to the NL Championship. Unfortunately, we were defeated by the Dodgers, but the amount of revenue that can be generated from a run like that is pretty crazy. The piece notes that much of the national media coverage has focused on the Brewers' success in Major League Baseball's smallest market within Metro Milwaukee and the entire state of Wisconsin. The Brewers' positive energy has spread like wildfire, resulting in, at the time, Miller Park attendance of 2.85 million, which ranked 10th in all of Major League Baseball, out of the 30 Major League Baseball teams. Regular season television ratings on Fox Sports Milwaukee had increased 37% that year and ranked among the highest for MLB teams. So, you know, if you want to have the conversation regarding stadium funding as well, the Brewers clearly are beloved, not just by the city of Milwaukee, but by Wisconsin as a whole. It kind of reminds me of the grass is not always greener. To leadership, right? You're not going to find another place that loves you quite like Milwaukee loves you. The Brewers' contract with Fox Sports paid about $20 million per year and ran through 2019, so that deal has since been renewed. But we are talking millions and millions of dollars generated outside of just ticket sales for local businesses as well. The quote from, I'm gonna mess up this name here, but you might be able to help me. Schlesinger?
Rick Schlesinger, I believe.
Schlesinger, that sounds a lot better, yeah. He said, quote, "We're expecting significant increase in our season ticket base and overall attendance post that season," and called merchandise gains themselves, quote, "stratospheric." So the Brewers at the time had declined to release raw data showing how much more merchandise sale they had generated, but they surpassed all benchmark for retail that they had even envisioned with that 2018 playoff run. Hopefully we can recapture some of that magic going forward this year.
Yeah, it's going to make a huge impact. You know, it's great to see, you know, I live on the side of town in Milwaukee, where we're, you know, close to the stadium, always a great increase in activity around town here, and it's going to be great to see, you know, what happens. Hopefully they can extend this run. I think, you know, like you mentioned, all those numbers in 2018 pointing to how much of an impact the deep playoff run would make. You know, it's going to be interesting to see if they can win a series, if they can push it to the NLCS, if they can even make a run to the World Series. How great would that be? You know, not only for fans of the team, but for the local economy, for the state economy as well. So it's an exciting time, Brewers baseball. You know, it's for me as a Brewers fan, like I was especially tied to the 2011 the era with Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder and all
Braun
that.
And Prince.
I'm still wrapping my head around a Brewers team that has dominant pitching and kind of iffy hitting. I'm used to a Brewers team that, you know, they get a lot of power hitting, a lot of runs, but maybe some iffy pitching. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, if the big three starters can hold up and power them through to some wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, you sound like reserved. Like I'm excited, but I'm a Brewers fan, so at the same time, I'm keeping my expectations reasonable. It's incredibly exciting for Milwaukee as a whole, right? The Bucks and the Brewers, like, growing up, they were always kind of, I don't want to say the bottom of the barrel, but for a long time, both franchises really struggled throughout my childhood. Now, 2011 was my junior year in high school, so we did get really behind that Brewers team as well. Because they had been so bad for so long, it was a lot of fun to be able to jump on that train. But now, both teams have been quite successful for the past couple of years. Milwaukee has become re-energized. We have a ton of fun activities to do, such as hanging out around the Forum and, you know, obviously AmFam's a little bit out of the way, but there's plenty going on in Milwaukee. And if these runs are able to continue year after year, if we're able to build on this success, it's going to be a great time to be a citizen of Milwaukee. So Dan, jumping into the meat and potatoes conversation of the day, I had to give your Brewers a shout out though, as long as we had Mr. Milwaukee here. You found a piece over from the Bulwark, Wisconsin's trickle down jerkonomics. Robin Voss, Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, has a longstanding commitment to smash mouth politics. The state is worse off for it, written up by Bill Luters. This is a conversation that we have had on the show with you frequently, discussing the impact of Robin Voss and his essentially attempts to consolidate power at the state level and how it's impacting us throughout the state of Wisconsin. What were the most noteworthy aspects of this piece that you found worth covering?
Yeah, I think this is such an interesting piece from Bill Leaders at the Bulwark, and talking about, you know, just the big picture of Robin Voss's approach to governing. You know, he's the most powerful Republican in the state. He's the longest serving assembly speaker in state history. And as this piece really gets into, he's kind of a jerk. And maybe you could remove the qualifier kind of from that characterization there as well. You know, a number of examples here shared of talking about Voss as being prickly, talking about him as, you know, just having governance by temper tantrum. Vintage Voss, the article reads, quote, peevish, petulant, and reflexively retributive. My goodness, is that a good way to characterize his
busted out the dictionary to find the best possible terminology with that one.
Yeah, as a writer, I'm jealous of the writing in this piece. As an observer of Wisconsin politics, I think it's an apt description of the way Robin Voss approaches to government. And I just think this piece, you know, should start a conversation about what leadership should be for Republicans in Wisconsin going forward. Because we know it's a purple state. We know there's going to be, you know, often it will be divided government, regardless of what the maps look like. You know, we've moved on from Scott Walker in the state. We've moved on from a lot of the leadership that was, you know, prominent in that era in Wisconsin from 2010 to 2018. But we still have Voss. 5 years later, we still have Voss. He's still the most. He's still calling all the shots. He's still, you know, a more powerful, larger voice than his Senate counterpart, Devin Lemieux, and so many of the other leaders in the Wisconsin State Assembly and the Wisconsin State Senate. So much of that goes through Voss. And I think this article
prides himself on that shadow governor tag.
He absolutely does. And I think this article and others like it, and the criticism that Voss has received this year, in particular with the impeachment talks, with so many of the, you know, the smash mouth politics that he has brought to governing in the state, I think should lend itself to a conversation about what Republican leadership in Wisconsin should look like going forward. I think, you know, Voss has been so singularly a part of this. You know, when is he ever going to pass the torch? When is another leader, you know, perhaps going to step up? Are they going to ever call for a change in leadership in the assembly? You know, I think these are the types of things that Republicans in Wisconsin should be asking themselves when you have this leader who is so unlikable and brings such a terrible brand of politics to Wisconsin government.
And has reflected, you know, poorly on Wisconsin at the national level. The piece notes that the blowback to Voss's impeachment threat has been, quote, astonishing, with places like the New York Times calling it breathtaking contempt for the will of the voters, cementing the reputation of the state's Republican Party as, quote, the most openly authoritarian in the country. Letters to the editor have appeared in local papers such as the Wisconsin State Journal, where an editorial piece noted Voss's intimidating talk of taking her down is wildly irresponsible, undemocratic, and comes off as desperate. These are pieces that people across the country are seeing. It reflects back on Robin Voss. I don't know if he has the ability to look in a mirror and self-reflect in any way, shape, or form, but if I'm the Wisconsin Republican Party, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this, I'm noting what people think of my leadership and, you know, my potential to win elections in the future, and you gotta believe the question has come up.
Yeah, there is going to be a day when Robin Voss is not the assembly speaker in Wisconsin, right? You wonder, reading pieces like this, if that day is sooner than we might think. You know, he's, of course, in a safe Republican district in Racine County. He's, of course, has a lot of other legislators who have supported him over the years. But eventually, there's going to be a change, you know. And I was joking on Twitter yesterday too, saying like we need to maybe consider term limiting assembly speakers, future, you know, just to prevent Wisconsin from future Robin Vosses. So I think, you know, a piece like this should start a conversation about what's happening going forward, because just as somebody who follows this closely, I just think so many of the proposals and so much of what's happening in Wisconsin government, I think we could be getting more done with different leadership, even if it was somebody with similar values, similar politics, similar ideology. It's just Voss's singular. We're trying really hard not to swear here on the air. Voss's singular approach to governing, I think, you know, causes so many problems. And it's just like, what would it look like if LeMahieu had more of a say in state government? You know, what would it look like if, you know, some of the leadership in the assembly, like Tyler August or some of the these others who are part of leadership, what would it look like if they were driving the ship instead of Robin Voss? I'd be interested to see what that looks like. I think we might be able to find more compromise, get more done, have fewer of these, you know, tumultuous moments that Voss is invited to politics in Wisconsin.
Yeah, in throwing his sister under the bus earlier, Aaron kind of compared a lot of these situations to a petulant child, and that perfectly encapsulates the way that Robin Voss leads. It's my way or the highway. Negotiation is for the weak. And actually, I want to quote a friend of the show, the Recombobulation Area from 2022, piece noting that Robin Voss, the longest serving assembly speaker in Wisconsin's history, had a favorability rating of just 12%. This was in April of 2022. I cannot imagine it has gone up since. His favorability had been polled earlier that year and it landed at 13%. So Dan, you noted that this was not an outlier. He is universally unpopular. And we're going to continue this conversation with Dan Schaefer right after the break. Give us a call or shoot us a text if you'd like to participate. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call. We'll be right back. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun. You might as well be walking on the sun.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
A little fog this morning, then it is going to be mostly cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles here throughout the day. Our high 67, the wind east at 5 to 15. Tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, but there will be a little more sunshine, especially in the afternoon, high of 71. We're going to kick it back to summer for the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. Lots of sunshine with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 65.
Civic Media Radio Stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is me.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789, or take the show with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. You can engage with us right from the app, calling or texting. Head on over to the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Type in Civic Media. It's free and easy to download on this Wednesday afternoon, the Wednesdayest Wednesday of the week. We are joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area for some general recombobulation, and we're talking Robin Voss and Wisconsin's trickle-down jerkonomics based off of a piece over by the Bulwark. Before the break, Dan, we were kind of talking about Robin Voss's unique unpopularity, not only in the state of Wisconsin, but could we say his own district? Remember, he had a very competitive primary this year as well from a relatively unknown candidate who was a lot closer to defeating Voss than I think Robin Voss was willing to admit after the fact.
Yeah, and there was even a bill earlier this week that the assembly was introducing saying that people who lost in the primary would be barred from being a write-in candidate. Did you see this one? So it's hard to see that as anything else than
how
just
are we Robin supposed Voss to read that? Yeah,
being vindictive. Like he's just the most vindictive leader that we have in this state. You know, he just takes these personal slights and makes them into policy. And so, yeah, I think, you know, the primary challenge that he had, you know, I was thinking back to a couple of years ago too, but there was in 2020 when right after Voss, you know, had famously was in full PPE at the polls in that absurd April 2020 election.
Boy, the plastic bubble. But everybody
else, you're safe to go outside. All of that. You know, there was a challenger that emerged after that to run against him in his district. And that challenger quickly bowed out of the race after there were some threats made to his family. And so it's just like goes to show, how insulated he is from any type of accountability, you know, to his majority through the maps in the district, through the type of smash mouth politics that he brings. And it's just so problematic for the state. And as you mentioned, his approval rating is his favorability rating as per the Marquette University Law School poll is typically under 15%. Now that can look, I will say that looks a little bit skewed because you still have, you know, like 40 to 50% of the state that does not have an opinion on Robin Voss in that polling. But even still, even if you doubled that 12% favorability number a 24% one isn't very good either.
It's still abysmal.
It's still terrible. And so, like, he even does not have a ton of support, you know, among Republicans. I just wonder how, at what point do they make a change? At what point is there going to be another assembly speaker? Because the trickle-down jerkonomics is not working for Wisconsin Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, it honestly reads like a racket. I mean, this is the type of stuff that, like, mob bosses do. It's like he took the shadow governor tag to heart and was like, I am the emperor behind the scenes. I am the man in the dark who makes these decisions. Don't you dare stand up and run against me. We had an interesting call from James from Racine. James, if your story sounded very interesting, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We'd love to hear that story still. And I think as more and more of these stories come to light, more and more people are starting to recognize how problematic an individual as vindictive and as petty as Robin Voss in this position of power can be. We've talked about his incredibly, incredibly low favorability time and time again. But Dan, you noted the sore loser bill, which bars candidates who falter in primaries to run write-in campaigns. It would stipulate that, quote, no candidate losing in the partisan primary may file a registration statement to have write-in votes for the candidate counted in the general election. This cannot be read in any other way other than Robin Voss is mad that he received a primary challenge. Someone dared to step up to his authority, and now he's going to punish you for it. In what way is this beneficial to the long-term health of democracy by not allowing people to run? If you're confident in yourself and your campaign, you should want as many people to run as possible. But of course, he's not confident in himself or his campaign. He just wants to consolidate his power.
It is, as the piece, as the Bulwark piece says, governance by temper tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
It is, no. That is the approach that we see from Voss. It is governance by temper tantrum. Someday he is not going to be the assembly speaker, and I will throw a party the day that happens.
Someday, but unfortunately that day is not today. Dan, one other piece that I wanted to touch on. We got a couple more minutes before the end of the show that, as soon as I read it, I was like, oh, this is right up Dan's alley. I'm going to have to ask him about it. So I figured I'd throw you under the bus and ask you about it live on air, reading over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I-94 construction project in Milwaukee County begins Thursday, $59.7 million approved for work. As my resident expert on all things Milwaukee, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we have these highway projects for tens of millions of dollars to reconstruct these highways and nobody ever bats an eyelash, right? We have...
Can't afford childcare, but here we're fine.
Right, or we have, you know, just in comparison to transit projects in particular, you know, we have talk about, we've heard endlessly about the streetcar. We've heard endlessly about how much of a boondoggle it would have been to accept, you know, $800 million in federal funding for a train through the state of Wisconsin. We always hear about, you know, the ongoing costs for maintenance for trains or buses or transit, but we don't really hear much about the tens of millions of dollars it will cost to reconstruct highways. Now, I'm not saying I'm opposed to maintaining roads and bridges. I think this is, you know, ultimately a good thing for the state and the region in the long term. 894 diverting some of the traffic that would come through the city, especially, you know, semi trucks and things of that nature. Diverting that traffic to go straight through towards Illinois, towards southeastern Wisconsin. That's a good thing. We should maintain our roads and bridges. But at the same time, I think the way that we talk about these projects and the ongoing maintenance costs of tens of millions of dollars every couple decades for these highways, we need to pull that into context, especially in comparison to when we talk about transit projects as well.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Thanks, Dan. Dan, we're running towards the end of the show. Where can people find you if they are interested in getting a little bit more of the Dan Schaefer experience?
You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Dan R. Schaefer, and you can find us at therecombobulationarea.news. We've got a new URL there. So you can actually share the link on Twitter now, which you couldn't before. So you know, it's a good thing. Recombobulationarea.news.
And glad you mentioned Twitter, Dan, because Dan is one of my favorite Twitter follows. If you need to know anything about Wisconsin politics or Milwaukee politics in particular, you're going to want to head over and follow that account because he is on top of everything. Thanks for joining us today, Dan, for some general recombobulation on a Wednesday. We got Office Hours with Professor John Shelton tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody, today. Take it easy, party people.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
Why you gotta be so mean?
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.